Hello, friends. Thank you so much for being here this morning. This morning, I want to talk to you about service. This whole month, we've been hearing, we've been taking this specific time together to learn about what service means for us as Christians. And today, we are going to be answering the question, why? Why we serve? By now, I hope that we all understand that serving is really important. It's essential for us to serve. It's an essential part of our thinking as Christians. As Christians, we need to think about service. But also, it's an essential part of our belief. And because it's an essential part of our thinking and our belief, service is an essential part of our behavior. You know, the way people see us, the way people perceive us, has to be grounded on service. Christians need to be people who serve, who think about serve, who believe that serve and serving others is at the top of our priorities, and then our behavior needs to express that service. It's not enough to say that we agree with serving or we think the service is good. Christians need to behave in a way that exemplifies that service. And the good thing is that Walter has been helping us to get a deeper understanding of what service is. We learned from Walter that, number one, serving is not about you or me. And that was really good, right? Starting out that way, it really impacted me greatly, that understanding. And also, we learned that service is not about me or about you, but we learned that to serve others, serving them as you want to be served. It's right here. Serve others as you would want to be served. Those two ideas laid a foundation for us to continue on and today answer that question, why we serve. Do you ever like to hear the why of things? Yeah. If you're going to do something, I often say, okay, but why? You know, when we're younger, when we always have that question, but why? Why? There's always a why. And I think Scripture does a wonderful job helping us understand why we need to serve. And it doesn't do it in a very, very complicated way, but it does it all through Scripture. And that's a wonderful thing for us today. You know, like I was telling you, this whole thing with serving and serving not being about you really made an impact in my life. Because part of my title and the work that I do is minister of serve minister. So that is a big deal because I have to be able to articulate somehow what is it that I do for a job, right? People ask me, okay, well, the creative art parts, kind of make videos, play the guitar, sing, but serve. What is that? Why does the church has these three main things that we say that we dedicate ourselves to? Seek, study, and serve. And right here, when I was thinking and I was working about this idea of service, I started to think about my own life. And you know what happened when I heard Walter saying this? I realized that there's are some things that I was doing and I've been doing for a long time about serving that I was going about the wrong way. I was not serving entirely to serve those in need. I was constantly finding a way to use this service to help and serve myself. So when I heard that, that was huge. Because I realized that wrong understanding of what serving means had impacted every area of my life. The way I interacted with my family, with my kids, with my wife, was all impacted by this just slight wrong understanding that serving as a Christian has to be entirely not about me. And that has been heavy on my heart. Because I'm going to give you a simple example. There's times that I was thinking that I was doing the right thing. For instance, I was asked to do something. And I was clearly told, this is what I want you to do. And I'll do something that sounds familiar, but it was something that I wanted to do. Sometimes they ask me something so simple. So simple. Like, okay, I just would like for you to do the dishes. So simple, right? And I said, it's so simple. Here are flowers and chocolates. And let's go to the movies. Right? You think that's service, right? I'm taking time, I'm bringing flowers. But what I was told to do was not what I did. Because I was serving, and part of that serving was something that I wanted for myself. And by the grace of God, His word came and convicted me lately about how I need to be serving and not serving about me. So it's a good question, right? Why we serve? And why are we so easily distracted with this idea of service? And why is the service so many times has been used and manipulated for many men and women through all history to gain things, to gain riches, to gain wealth, to gain fame? In the name of Christ, in the name of all that is good, the service needs to be grounded on the Word of God. So yeah, we're going to look today at two things. Two very simple things, very important things for us, so that we understand why we need to be served. Why, as Christians, in 2024, one of our main priorities and our main focus and all our resources have to be centered on the attitude of a servant. The number one thing why we need to be serving is because it's a command. We have been given a command. You know how sometimes you give you receive a suggestion? This doesn't appear to be a suggestion for us as Christians. You know, there's a part of the scripture that says, as long as it's up to you, get along with everybody. And that's hard. And it's like they're telling you, as long as it's up to you, as long as you can do it, get along with everybody. When it comes to serve, the scripture tells us that we need to serve. And here are some scriptures that will help us to understand how and when and with who. All over scripture, we are told that we need to serve. Okay? So, in Psalm 102, starts out by and says, serve the Lord with gladness. So it sets up a really high standard, right? Because I have been known to serve, but not with gladness, just out of obligation. I've been known to serve out of because that's what Christians do. But the scripture takes these concepts and elevates it to a place that we can see that this is important. Deuteronomy says this, serve the Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. Imagine this. Your service is so impactful that everything, your heart and your soul, are involved in this attitude of service. I heard recently about a brother that passed away. And when they were talking about his life and his involvement with the church, you know what they said? He was a person that was well known because he served at the door. He opened the door for people. This brother made an impact in the life of many people because all through his story here in this church, what he did, he served the Lord with gladness, opening the door. And all who came through that door knew that there is something in here that made him serve the Lord with gladness. Then Joshua 24:15 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is an invitation for all of us to consider that if there is something that you need to be doing with your family, if you have little kids, you need to be looking at an opportunity to serve the Lord together. There is nothing better. There is nothing that is going to impact your life and the life of your family than serving the Lord together. I love this because it's my family. It says it's my house. Doesn't matter if you're old and retired and you have all kinds of physical difficulties, the invitation is open for us to serve. Doesn't matter if you're just so young and don't even have a license yet. You are commanded to serve. And that is a beautiful invitation that we cannot forget. Because it's when we answer to this invitation to serve that we are going to start seeing the transformation of this world. His kingdom starts to come into earth as it is in heaven when his people start to serve. Also in Mark 10:45 says something that is very impactful and there should be a really good indication that we need to be serving. It says, Jesus says, the Son of Man came not to serve, but not to be served, but to serve, which is a fantastic concept, right? In a society, in a world where everything seems to be dedicated for us to be served, everything advances and everything we invest on has the purpose of serving ourselves. We realize that as humans are incredibly great about serving ourselves. But the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve. So Scripture does that. Scripture helps us to understand then the reason why we serve is because we've been commanded to serve. Now, as disciples, as believers, there has to be a sense of urgency on making this command a reality in our lives every single day. Because when we serve, we are able to fulfill this heart desire that we also been commanded to make disciples. So we have been told we need to, go and make disciples. In a way that we make disciples, if you're interested in obeying that command, is by serving others. I'm going to tell you a story in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, chapter number 3. And this story is about Peter and John. Peter is one of, Jesus' disciples, and he heals a crippled beggar. This is kind of the outline of the story. You can follow a little bit. But this is what happened. Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples, were going to the temple in Jerusalem to pray. All right? Wonderful things. Much like you guys were going to the temple on Sunday here to pray, to worship God. And what happens is in their way to the temple, there was a gate. They called it Beautiful. And then at that gate, they encounter a man that had been lame since birth. All right? So every day, this man was carried to the gate to beg for money. We are confronted with a story that we have access to, that we can relate to. This story happened a long time ago, but today we are also able to see in different places in our city that there are people in need, right? Maybe they're not just carried to that place, just like happened here, but these people are certainly in need. This is what happened. When the beggar asked Peter and John for money, because that's what the beggar wanted, he was pretty forward about his thing. He didn't have a cardboard that says, anything specific. He says, "Do you have money?" And then Peter says, "You know what? No. This is what I have. I have no silver or gold, but I have something better to give." And then he commanded the beggar to rise and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we have a situation in which there is a decision to be made. Often we are limited because we have this understanding that we need to have something to give. And we say, well, I don't have silver or gold, of course, but I really have very little time. Or I have very little resources. I live in a fixed income, and there's very little that I can do to get involved in this. And then we say, you know, I don't know, I'm just going through a really hard time. I'm having a very difficult time. I'm raising kids, got a new job, got a promotion, things are hard at work. And then we find ourselves limiting ourselves and saying, I don't have silver or gold. But brothers and sisters, the answer that Peter gives is the answer that we need to give today. But I have something better to give you. And then when the resource is focused on Jesus Christ, there is healing, there is transformation, there is everything that we all hope for. And it happens once we shift our focus from what we don't have to what we do have. Because if there is something that we all have here today available to us, it's the Spirit of the Lord. We have the Word of God. This understanding, this command that we need to serve is given to us by God. It's given to us in His Word. And His Word is true today as it was when it was given to us. But also, it was exemplified by His Son, Jesus. So what happens is this. What follows is that this person is healed, right? It's amazing, but not, it doesn't stop there. What happens next is that this person gets up and walk, and everybody starts freaking out. The attention comes to him. It's like, we've been seeing this guy for a long time, but look, now he's changed. And everybody around him is amazed. They cannot believe it. And what happens there? They do not take, like I did sometimes, the opportunity to focus all that attention on me. They shift the attention and they take the opportunity to preach the name of Jesus Christ. That's why every day we need to read the Bible. Brothers and sisters, when we go next Sunday and we serve, or when you serve this week, you need to be able to come out of your mouth without hesitation the reason why you serve. Much like Peter and John, out of our mouth, when we are confronted, when we are picking trash, when we are serving the needy, when we are in the line there, we need to be able to say that we serve because it's a command from God. And when we are told and we ask why we serve, we need to say because we've been called to make disciples. And this is how we do it. Much like Peter and John. Much like them. I know that we desire to serve and not get any recognition. Because that is going to make it evident to yourself and to those around you that your service is a spiritual act of worship. You know, in the Bible, it's used the same thing. Some translations say, worship the Lord with gladness. And some say, serve the Lord with gladness. It's a spiritual act of worship. If you want to let God know how much you love Him, you will serve Him. In the same way that if you want to let your kids or your spouse or your church or someone you really care for, that you love them, you can tell them. You can get a plane and write in big letters in the sky that you love them. But if you want them to feel it, you have to serve them. And that's what Peter and John did. We desire to put aside our agenda, much like Peter. Okay, they were going to the temple, they were going to church, they had plans, they were going to eat later on, but a necessity came, and what they did, put aside their needs, their wants, their aspirations, and they served the Lord. We desire to serve those in need, those who are rejected, those who are marginalized, those who are easy to ignore. We desire to serve without the expectation that we are going to receive something in return. That was my problem. And by the grace of God, I hope He continues helping me. I grew up, my grandfather was a minister and served the Lord. My father is a minister and served the Lord. And God called me to serve him. And all of that, there was good. But there was also this misguided understanding that in doing all of this, there is something for me. And I pray that God will change that. But now, I want to point you to the heart of Jesus. Because this is what happened. The only reason we are able to serve, the only reason we are even able to talk about serving, is because the love that Jesus has for us. The love that Jesus has for us should answer that question, why? The love that Jesus has for us should be able to be a conviction so deep that nothing takes away that desire to serve. It's only because of Jesus and his love for us, it's only because of his grace that we today are able to serve. If it wasn't for his love, if it wasn't for his grace, my heart will be 100% focused on serving myself. But his love came to us and changed us. You know, later on in this story, this is what happened. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and they were eating, and the story says later on that he grabs some sort of towel, puts it on himself, and he goes and he grabs water. And you know what he does? He does the perfect and most graphic example of what serving looks like. He grabs water and washes the feet of the disciples. If you want to know what serving is, look at Jesus. Look at his life and look at him washing the feet of the disciples. Because what he's doing, he's kneeling, right? And then he is doing basically the work that a typical slave would do. He lowered himself. He lowered all his standards, and he washes the feet of the disciples. The disciples were like, what are you doing? Because it was not natural that the rabbi, the teacher, would have taken this position and start cleaning. And then he does that, and he uses the water to wash the feet. And that's where we need to go to. We need to look every single day for opportunities to be washing feet. Like Peter and John, opportunities to stop what we're doing and serve those in need so that we can proclaim the name of Christ. Also, later on in this story, this is what happened. And this is what happened to me. There's another guy, Pontius Pilate, that also grabs water, but you know what he does? He washes his hands. Jesus washes feet, Pontius Pilate washes his hand. And I'm here to give a testimony and tell you that I myself have washed my hands of things. There are situations that were incredibly important that I did the right thing and I washed my hands. Just like Pontius Pilate, after he did that, you know what happened? Jesus' walk to the cross was sealed. I have washed my hands of things. Say, you know what? This is not my mess. This is not my problem. I'm already doing a lot. I just wash my hands. When what I should have done is to grab that water and just wash feet. Because that is the blessing. That's what we've been called to. But now, you know what? I want to finish with this. And I hope this resonates in your heart the way God has made it evident and truthful for me today. I know that here we have people that are washing feet. I know that so many of you are doing extraordinary things to lower yourself and serve those in need. But maybe like me, you have found yourself repeatedly and continuously through years just washing your hands. Let other people deal with that. So Somebody else can go to the kitchen, soup kitchen, to the shelter. That's not going to be my thing. We have been called and we have been given this opportunity. And if you are here like me and you realize that you've been just washing your hands, I just want to tell you, lean into God's grace. The only reason we are here is because God has given us salvation. Because God has made it possible for us to do this. The love that God has for you is exemplified by washing feet. But it's also exemplified that when you wash your hands of things, He still loves you. That when we repent from our sin, He welcomes us. And He says, all right, you wash your hands, I still love you. There is another day tomorrow, and there is another opportunity to use the water to wash those feet. Let's lean into the grace, into the beautiful love that He has for us, and the grace and mercy that can take somebody like me and give them one chance, one more chance, to that now I can see an opportunity to serve, not with the desire of gaining something, but absolutely with the desire to bring in all glory to God. Whether you have washed feet or whether you have washed hands, the grace and the love that Christ has for us is unending. We are able to serve because of His grace and His love. You know that Peter gave us an example of how to serve, and we need to follow that example step by step. But the same Peter later on needed the love and grace and mercy that only Jesus can give us. Now we're going to go in a time into communion, and I want to invite you to go to the tables, to grab the bread that represents the body of Christ that was broken for us, and also the wine, juice, that represents His blood that has the power to wash away our sins. The things that separate us from Him are washed away because of His sacrifice for us. When we take this communion now, we are able to say that that power that cleanses us is now giving us an opportunity to serve. Much like Peter and John did serve, we today have an opportunity to say, you know what? God loves me. He died for me. And I'm going to serve Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity we have today. We thank You, Lord, because as we get to know You, as we understand, Lord, that Your light shines into our darkness, we are convicted, Lord, by grace, by the love, by the mercy that You've given us, Father. A sinner, lost in my selfishness, misguided, blinded by the lies. And You came and not only saved me, but You gave me an opportunity to reflect who You are by serving others. Father, help me to live with a humble heart. Help me be reminded that You are my Savior. That the only reason I get to serve is because You came and died for me. Father, let my reward be the knowledge and the understanding that I am Your son. We love You, God, and we thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your kindness. We thank You for Your mercy. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come. partake. Let's be free today. Let's be free to serve others.